You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get your last word.
The following podcast is a W2M Network partnership production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Running Wild Podcast. I'm your co-host, Rich. Alongside me, as always, my co-host, Runs.
Yes, sir.
All right, so, shockingly, we have a preview for an event this week. Some rather kind of, snooze fest events this week, I felt, from WWE overall. So do you want to start in chronological order?
Yeah, I mean, that makes the most sense.
Before we get started, though, I just want to remind you that we're brought to you in partnership with PWPonderings.com, Last Word on ProWrestling.com, and Wrestling to the Max Network. You can find them at W2Mnet.com. All right, with that out of the way.
We can really just talk about SmackDown because Raw will cover as we're talking about Hell in a Cell, you know?
Yeah. All right, so I'm trying to think SmackDown. So you had Natty going up. I'm going out of order. I'm just, for some reason, I remember Natty first. Natty goes up to Daniel Bryan, and she suggests that she be the captain of the team, and he ends up making a match between her and Nikki Bella, the winner being the captain and the loser being not even being placed on the team at all. So what did you think about the way it worked out, and what did you think about the match?
I mean, I didn't really focus in on the match too much, but because it was pretty obvious that Natalya was not going to be the captain of the women's team on SmackDown, so, you know, there really was no shot of that happening. But, you know, it's good to see it's Nikki Bella. That's fine. You know, she's earned that, like, leadership spot, and we talked about it last week, but the stuff with her and Carmella, and, you know, they talked about it on Talking Smack as well, but can they be on a team together? How are they going to fare when they're on that team? So, you know, that stuff is always entertaining.
I just feel bad for Natalya in this, where it's like, wow, wait, so if she doesn't win, she's not on the team?
Yeah, that's the only bad part. Like, she could have been on the team.
Do you feel
I
like...
I mean, I guess you have Nikki, Carmella,
Becky?
Yeah. Alexa and Naomi?
I guess.
I don't think there's anyone else on SmackDown.
I just...
Basically, that match was like, you're the only one who's not on the in this match.
Don't you feel like if they wouldn't have said that you're not on the team, then it would... like. I feel like it was a foregone conclusion once I heard, like, the winner is the captain, the loser's not on the team. You know, like, I felt like at that point, then I knew that Nikki was going to win before the match started. Where if it would have just been, like, the winner is the captain, and then the captain just doesn't pick her.
Yeah, exactly. That would have been much more acceptable.
Like, that's very simple stuff to do. But, I don't know. Maybe that's why we're doing a podcast about wrestling and not actually running a show.
I don't know if that's why, but, you know.
The Spirit Squad still around?
I like that, oh. Man. I like Kenny, you know, and I just, I don't know why it took me this long, but it clicked for me this week, like, that Mikey is Mike Mondo, and, like, he's been wrestling, you know, throughout the indies while he's been not on WWE, so... When I clicked that, I was like, oh, well, that's cool. Like, he worked. He kept going. So at least it's not like they took two guys who haven't been wrestling. They know what they're doing. They've been entertaining. I've been enjoying them. You know, we've talked about that they have a role. They have a logical place in this feud. And, you know, it's been good.
So do you think – are they challenging for the title soon, you think?
Yeah, I think we'll get that at some point maybe. I think – didn't they say something about – next week, or didn't they wrestle this week? Something, right?
I think so. I don't believe they wrestled this week, though.
I thought they did something.
I know that they were in the ring Let me go over. This is the problem. I really mean this. This is the problem with all these shows. It's just too much.
Yeah, they just blend together. I'm looking right now. Oh, okay. The Miz beats Dolph Ziggler. Yeah, Heath Slater and Rhino defeated the Spirit Squad.
Oh, they did wrestle. Okay. It's just.
So.
I mean, I guess I just didn't expect Heath Slater to still have the title with Rhino. So, that's what's a little weird.
And I think that's what the Spirit Squad is a perfect filler for this, because it gives them another month and we let that go. But the problem is, now we haven't seen Alpha or the Usos in a couple of weeks. So who else? Who's next?
Yeah, I don't understand why they're not around. I mean, they're gonna be in that tag thing, right?
I would think they have to be.
So the Hype Brothers and the Hype Bros beat the Ascension, so that they're now in the match.
Yep.
This is gonna be. I hate this 10-on-10. Like,
yeah, that's a little too much.
But at least it's elimination, so that's the one thing that's good about it.
It's basically 5-on-5, but you know, seeing 20 guys around the apron is just startling.
Because they've done 8-on-8, right? Before, where it's like on Raw, I feel like they've done an 8-on-8 where it's only
the
one
four
pinfall.
Teams.
Yeah. So this will be
and then everyone just jumps out of the ring, and you know, one person gets pinned. Blah blah blah.
It's so ridiculous. Like the odds that all those other men cannot get to that guy. Like, what is going on?
It's just too illogical. But I mean, I guess bigger things to come out of SmackDown, or the biggest thing, is the whole Randy Orton Wyatt family thing, which, I mean, it would really be awesome if, like, Randy Orton, this was real and he just joined the Wyatt family. Like, that would be cool. But I can't help but think it's just mind games, and it's gonna, you know, result in Orton fooling Wyatt and Wyatt looking stupid, and then us going from there.
I can't. I'm so done. Like, this is getting worse. Like, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care if he joins the Wyatts. I don't care if he's not on the Wyatts. I don't want to see either of them. I'm done. Like, just... I'm going to remove them from, like, my WWE universe. Like, I just... I don't want to see
Orton,
them.
I don't even use anyway. But yeah, continue.
Oh, and by the way, you're talking smack thing? I watched it this week, buddy. Not impressed.
Uh-huh.
Not impressed. I didn't like it.
Of course you would watch it on the one week where it's not... like as crazy as it's been for the past 2 months, you know, but it was still a good, like, I still enjoy that.
Oh, but like it was Kane in the, having Kane there is weird.
Yeah. Like you watched the episode with Kane and James Ellsworth, like not the one where, like, you know, Nikki Bella's getting attacked or the Wyatts take over or, you know, like any of that good stuff.
Yeah.
But... it just figures. It's like TNA all over. Like, you know, it's been great for 16 months in a row. Just watch it. All right, cool. Tomko goes through boxes. Like, all right, here we go again. Here's another year and a half rebuilding of this. It's just...
That's exactly, you know, what
happened. You, I don't know. I think it's your negative energy. Like, you're just like, this is good. This can't be that good. And then it just makes it not good. I don't know.
Yo, the camera guy zeroed in. I'm talking about TNA. On what's his name? On
Abyss and Tomko.
Cutting his head open.
Ugh.
I was like,
and then Abyss and Tomko off the stage, like, through a black curtain, and then 7,000 boxes revealed. Anyway, I mean, we spent enough time on bad things on SmackDown, but what else?
How about
we had
Ellsworth
and Ambrose, and you know, at the beginning, I was thinking, like, maybe Ellsworth is going to turn on him. Like, maybe this has been a whole thing. AJ paid him off now or something. Like, because, you know, the whole, like, oh, like, come on, please let me be in your corner. Come on.
Yeah,
that's always, like, the setup, you know? But then I figure, like, okay, maybe he doesn't turn, but he'll probably cost him the match. And that's what ended up happening. But it's entertaining, man. AJ is on fire. And I don't think there's anyone better than him right now in the company.
It's so weird. It's so weird to see him in this
to
position.
Say that.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, and I mean, and of course, I mean, everyone's talking about it. But you know, you have Owens on Raw, which, you know, it's equally, like, you're just, if 3 years ago you were like, this is what's going to happen, I'd be like, no, you're crazy. AJ's, you know, it makes me upset almost that I didn't watch TNA, but he's great now, so whatever. I really enjoy watching him.
I mean, this is really what matters, but yeah.
This is like, this whole thing with Ellsworth is pretty interesting. Because I mean, I feel it's a way for Ambrose to go heel. I think.
I think it's a way for anyone to go heel, and I think like you might have mentioned, like, you know, just jokingly, like, oh, Cena just attacks Ellsworth, or I heard it somewhere, whatever. But like that Ellsworth is lending that possibility, because when Ambrose was mean to him, the crowd booed the hell out of him. So like, mm-hmm. you know, this guy is the ultimate underdog, and everyone can see that. So. When he gets picked on by a good guy, people care. And, you know, I'm glad to hear this week that, you know, they possibly signed him or are signing him. Hearing him and Jericho are boys, and, like, Jericho has been pushing for him, made me listen to the Jericho podcast with him on. And that was pretty interesting. I didn't want to listen to it before, but once I heard, you know, he's getting signed, there's a little push for him, I was like, okay, cool, I'll listen.
So wait, Ellsworth is signed?
I believe so, or like he was going to get signed, something like that. Like he is about to.
All right, let's just move on. I don't even know what to say about that.
Hey, man, he's been working 14 years. He's been all around. He's got a couple kids at home.
There's only one person's kids I care about, and that's not myself. It's Heath Slater.
I was going to say, you're old?
No, it's Heath Slater.
I realized Heath Slater. Yeah, Heath Slater. Makes sense.
I got kids. I need this job. Amazing, that guy. Oh, Becky Lynch came back.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, whatever. I like Becky Lynch, but it wasn't like, you know, it's been 3 weeks. There is wrestling literally every day of the week. Yeah. I didn't really notice, you know? Like, it didn't stand out that she wasn't there. Because the fact that they've had Alexa Bliss and Naomi, and they've had Carmella and Nikki, there's two women's matches on SmackDown for me to care about and invest in. So I haven't really missed it. You know, I knew she's coming back. I knew she was injured, sick, whatever it was. So, hey, you know, whatever the case, she's back now. Hopefully she's all right, and we'll move forward.
All right, so I guess we could start talking about yet another pay-per-view. Hell in a Cell.
At least this one has some Hell in a Cell matches.
Yeah, they just announced, maybe today, was it, about the six-man cruiserweight action? Because I hadn't heard about that.
I think I saw it yesterday, but yeah, so you can start off with that.
All right, so you have, it's going to be Tony Nese, it's going to be Drew Gulak, and it's going to be Daivari, right?
Arya Daivari, right?
Yep, versus Grandma Talik. Lindsay Dorado and Cedric Alexander. So I'm pretty excited about this match.
I don't think it's Grandma Talik. I think it's Sin Cara.
Am I terrible? Oh yeah, I'm a terrible human being. I was looking at the small image on the site.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I mean, it makes perfect sense that you would think that, because when I saw Sin Cara, I was like, oh shit, oh that's cool. I forgot that he was cruiserweight. I forgot that was a thing.
Yeah, I actually forgot.
I don't. You know, I missed the post on PW Insider, and I keep forgetting to go back and check. But, like, they said Norm Dor was supposed to debut, like, two weeks ago. And then, like, one day they had a post, like, where is Norm Dor? So I'm hoping that Norm Dor and Grandma Talik are getting, you know, like, a bigger stage than, you know, throwing a six-man tag or just throwing in one of these matches on Raw. But... you know, so hopefully they get a little bigger moment, or they come in to challenge TJP or Kendrick next, whoever, and we go from there.
Yeah, I think what I like about this is I like them, you know, I like that Nese and Gulak seem like, you know, just kind of bad guys, for lack of a better term.
And I've definitely been enjoying that.
And I like, you know, I've said it 1,000 times on the show, I like Lindsay Dorado, and I like to see that he's staying with WWE, it seems, and I really love watching Cedric. I think, you know... he could be the second. He might not be the second, but I could easily see him holding the Cruiserweight title at some point in the future.
Yeah, I mean, talk about just jumping leaps and bounds. I mean, you know, everyone knew the talent that Cedric Alexander had when he was in Ring of Honor, but they didn't showcase it the way he felt he deserved, or others felt. And, he left. And, I mean, the sky's been the limit ever since. You know, every match the guy has is a good match. He has the crowd going every time. The crowd on Raw, so, you know, 20,000 people who will probably have literally never seen him or love him. And you can't say that about, you know, most of the roster.
No, 100%. I don't know. These guys, I could watch. I would almost be happier if there was like another 1 hour thing that it was just cruiser, these guys, and not watch Raw.
I mean, you know, I can't not watch Raw, but, you know, everyone who complains so much, like, yes, it is not the best, and it hasn't been great, but I don't know. There are moments that are okay. There are things that are solid. There are decent things going on. So whatever. This is the beginning. You know, people forget that Finn Balor was supposed to be the Universal Champion, and they had to change all of that. So who knows what would have been in the case if he hadn't gotten hurt. Anyway, yeah, I agree with you that this is cool to see. I think this would be a great pre-show match. You know, this is what a pre-show match should be. You know, a fun little six-man tag. I don't really see any reasons why the good guys wouldn't go over here, but I would love to see Neeson Gulak pick up a win.
Yeah, I think the good guys go over. That's
pinning Daivari is my guess.
Yeah. Oh, and it's, by the way, am I a terrible person if I say that? It was just really like a flashback because he wears the same headdress and everything as his brother.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, whoa. I was like,
if you just look quick,
yeah, for
you
half
see
a second,
Daivari, yeah.
I was like, was he what? And then I heard Daivari. I was like, he's back. And then they're like, your younger brother of. I was like, oh, okay.
I'm glad to see he's getting another shot because he really was one of the people that, you know, impressed me in his match in the Cruiserweight Classic. So I'm glad to see he's getting the shot on Raw or, you know, at least the pay-per-view.
Yep. Then we have Bayley versus Dana.
I mean, the arm wrestling thing, like, I got it. I got, you know, Dana's a lot bigger. She's a lot more physical than Bayley is. I get that point, but that was not a good segment. And this whole feud, Dana botched her feet on the ropes and all that kind of thing. It just hasn't been smooth. And hopefully, you know, this is just a filler feud for Bayley. She'll get the win here and move on, hopefully, to the title.
Yeah, this match was added late too, right?
No, I think they've. I mean, maybe like this week, but they've definitely been building towards it.
Oh, no, they've been building, but like, oh, so I'll just be honest. Like, was doing group results with some people, and basically those matches were not listed on WWE.com on Tuesday morning.
Interesting.
So I'm kind of irritated, but, you know, whatever. I'll be okay. I'll get over it.
Yeah.
So I don't know, you know, obviously, I think Bayley, I don't think this stretches out anymore. It can't.
No, Bayley will get the win, and then, you know, she'll be in the 10-woman tag, and I'm sure she'll have some interaction with Sasha there, and then, you know, we'll move on.
All right, then we also have
Enzo and Cass against the Club.
So, I mean, the Club has to go over, right?
There's no way. What the hell are they doing? Like, first of all, why would Carl Anderson face both Big Cass and Enzo in back-to-back weeks? That makes no sense. Just to job him out to both of them. What was the point? Let Gallows face Cass because they're the bigger ones, or you let Gallows face Enzo so you have the size difference in both. And he gets killed by Cass in 4 seconds, and now he loses to Enzo because they cheat. Come on, man. What are you doing to these guys?
I really don't know what they're trying to do. I don't know why. It's like they're punishing them for some reason.
Yeah, because they didn't make them.
But they
that's so crazy.
But they're not doing that with anybody else. So I feel like it's got to be something else.
They're doing it with, they've done it to everybody else. That, you know, that's the thing. It's just Vince McMahon didn't make these guys. He doesn't see whatever it is in them, and that's it. You know, AJ won him over. Freaking James Ellsworth on the Jericho podcast has mentioned two times that Vince McMahon has told him he had a good match and gave him a pat on the back and saw him in passing one day and was like, Ellsworth is here. And I can see that 100%. And Jericho was like, what the hell? Like, I don't even get those things from Vince. Like, that's crazy. So it's just a matter of who Vince McMahon is a fan of and what he likes. And apparently he doesn't like the club, or he's punishing them for being successful everywhere else other than WWE. I don't get it.
Maybe showing the world that the club isn't a good, that the Bullet Club isn't good by having like yeah. two its
like, hey, the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, you guys suck. Like, it, nobody believes that. So whatever you're trying to do is not working. Trade them to SmackDown. Do something, please.
So I guess we're in agreement. You think Enzo and Cass win?
I mean, I'm with you in the sense that the club needs this win, but I just can't see it. I just can't see it. And I hope to God we're both wrong.
All right. Then we have Cesaro and Sheamus, the odd couple, against the New Day for the tag titles.
Why did they wrestle on Monday?
I don't.
What?
Doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
As soon as I saw that they were wrestling, I was like, what's the point? And they're wrestling Kofi and Big E, so it's not even like they're wrestling Woods and Kofi, and they beat them, and then it's like, oh, well, you didn't really beat the New Day. You beat, you know, Woods and Kofi. That's not our favorite matchup, but whatever. But instead, they beat Kofi and Big E. So, yes, clearly now I'm going to say that New Day is going to win at the pay-per-view, but I didn't need this match 4 days ago.
Yeah, you think the New Day retain?
I mean, you think they're going to have Cesaro and Sheamus beat them twice? Like, why not have New Day beat them, right? Or, like, have... This whole time, you've had New Day play them against each other. So why not do something where New Day rolls up Cesaro, like cheats to roll up Cesaro or something, and then they're like, oh, you know, maybe you're right. And then you kind of see them get on the same page, and they win the titles at the pay-per-view. I would have been fine with that. You know, give me something where I don't want to see them beat them, and now they're like, ah, maybe this thing works. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that this was going to be the team to take it from them, but maybe not just yet. I don't.
And then what? Do we get another Cesaro Sheamus feud? I don't know.
I really thought they were going to pull, like, you know, a two-man power trip or whatever, like just that.
Yeah, I still think they could, but why have them beat them on Raw and you know? Have them lose on Raw, and then we go. That just throws me off, but I don't know. I mean, then we have TJP and Brian Kendrick for the Cruiserweight Championship, which I don't know. How are you feeling about this one?
God, I mean, I'm getting to the point where, like, Kendrick has to win?
I think so. The I didn't mind TJP on commentary. Like, maybe that's just because I'm a mark for it. Yeah. I like the guy, but I thought he was okay. Like, I heard a lot of people complaining, like, or saying he sucked or never do that again. Like, I actually thought he was a lot more comfortable and, you know, better than he has been. But the backstage segment with, like, hey, TJ, man, please just let me win. Like, I don't think people really get who Brian Kendrick is. And I think that messes it up because people were kind of just, like, quiet. They weren't like, oh, this guy's an asshole. They kind of bought into it, I felt.
Yeah, like, I couldn't... I was really confused because I was like, this is very clearly a super heel move. Like, why are we even discussing whether or not it is?
Yeah. You
know? Like, it was so clearly... I don't understand. He's coming across clearly... So I don't feel like it's anything in his work. Like, that was clearly a heel move. I don't know if people are getting tired. Like, they're not just not reacting. I don't get it. Where were they? Do you remember where it was?
Nah, no idea. but I really don't know. It's a case of, you know, these guys not really being able to develop characters and that sort of thing. You know, they haven't been on TV long enough, I guess, but I don't know. I'm hoping that changes, because when they're in the ring, it's different, but on the mic or backstage, it's still a little like, not quite there yet. But it was weird. Every backstage segment they've had, I felt a little weird. Like, Kendrick is the heel, but then, like, TJ says something or does something where I'm like, wow, that's kind of fucked up too. What do you... So I don't really know where they're going. I don't know what's going to happen at the pay-per-view. I feel like Kendrick has to win, but why take the belt off TJP? And, you know, that doesn't make sense. Grandma Talik is not a good guy, I don't think, unless you're going to make him one. But in my mind, he's just a heel. So that would be a good next challenger for him.
You think Metallica is a heel, huh? But then again, you know what? I'm going to go with you, because last time I said that Curt Hawkins is a face, and
it might just be in my mind, but the whole Cruiserweight Classic, you know, I just kind of felt that way, and I don't know why.
I can see that. I mean, is it because, like, you support Trump and you don't trust Mexicans? Is this what it is?
It's definitely not that. I just, I don't know. Like, maybe the first time I saw him, he had like a black outfit on or something like that, where it made me feel that way. But I don't know. I just get the vibe that he's a heel.
That's the first political reference we've made ever. So that was huge.
Terrible.
No, I can see that. I can see him. I mean, so I follow him on Twitter, and it's in Spanish a lot. But, you know, he's very much a face. Like, he worked a face. I mean, he was coming off to me as a face so far, but, you know, that could change. So,
yeah,
easily. All right, go ahead.
Before the Hell in the Cells, right? Because that's all we have left.
I believe so, yeah. The triple main event.
Why is, like, Strowman and Zayn not a thing? You know, maybe that'll just be... I don't want to see that quick on the pre-show, but... I guess because of the Hell in a Cells, they take up more time. But I think instead of Bayley and Dana, I guess, you know, I'd rather see Strowman and Sammy. But, you know, whatever. I like Bayley. Don't get me wrong.
But Strowman hasn't been on a pay-per-view yet.
I don't think so.
I think it's smart to space this out. Like, let them, like, slowly, like, continue to kind of fight each other.
Yeah, it's not ready, or it doesn't need to be a pay-per-view match, but I would like to see it.
Well, I mean, look, trust me, I want to see Sami Zayn. I don't want to see him get demolished by that oaf over there, that troll giant, but, you know.
Jeez.
Whatever. So then we have a triple main event, which is, okay.
Now, which one of these do you think opens the show? Because it's not, I don't think it's going to be the world title. So, do we get the women, or do we get Reigns and Rusev?
I say the women.
All right. I don't know that I disagree, but some reason yesterday, I think if you put the women first, that's more of a quote-unquote main event than putting them in the middle of the card.
Exactly.
You know?
That's why, it's like, you know, they can, and then you can justify, well... The main event for the last one.
Exactly,
you know?
Yes.
I mean, so first of all, I'm just going to be very clear about this triple main event fucking bullshit.
I want you to go on this rant, but at least they're all one type of match.
Yes, but I don't care. I don't care. It makes me angry, okay? Listen, a couple years ago, I'm so old I can say this, but really, it's like 10 years ago, I was at another job, and I was making like a list of main events. Like, I wanted to memorize every WrestleMania main event. So,
and you just made the list.
So, hold on. So I go.
Sorry, finish this, but go ahead.
I go to WWE Magazine, and it actually had like two pages where it listed all the main events. I was alive and remember vividly 1992 WrestleMania 8, the double main event. Macho Man beat Ric Flair for the title, and that was like earlier in the card, whatever, the middle of the show. And then the last match that went on, the other main event, was Hogan versus Sid Justice. Now, so 10 years ago, let's say, is 12 years or so after WrestleMania 8. I'm not good at math, by the way, so you guys can do the numbers and laugh at me all you want on Twitter.
Well, this is WrestleMania 33, 32.
Okay.
Right, yeah. I think this is coming up as 30. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. So let's say it's
20-something years ago.
It was 20, no, but let's say it was WrestleMania 22 when I got this list.
Oh, okay,
from WWE
okay.
Magazine. And they listed every main event. And you know what they did for WrestleMania 8? They only listed Hogan versus Justice. There wasn't even a parenthesis.
Yeah, they just listed the last match.
So, don't give me this triple main event bullshit when you told me the Macho Man and Flair were just as important as the other match, and then years later you redacted that and went back and said it was Hogan Justice. So now, when we look at this on paper in 10 years, those other two matches will not be the main event.
Well, clearly only one match can be last. But, this double main event, triple main event sort of a thing never bothered me as much as you. And I understand your reasoning, but I just look at it as there are three matches that are the biggest feuds they have going or whatever the case. And I'm excited to see them.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I am. Okay. I don't really feel. Okay, so Rusev and Reigns.
What else?
I don't care
what
about
else
that
would
match.
You? But what else? Like, would you call it? You know, how? Just the Triple H sell? Like, what? You know, they got to sell it some way. And after Foley tweeted about the women's match being the main event, and then retracted that statement. I think they kind of just forced their own hand there.
I kind of want to get through this weekend. I'm excited about the Owens match. So, let's just start in order. Rusev and Reigns. I don't really feel like it needs to be in a cell.
I disagree on that. This has been going on for a while. And, they mentioned last week the cake in Lana's face and disrespect. And I was like, wow, that was a while ago. I totally forgot about that. And now, the whole family thing and all that. I think they've had a decent amount of personal things go on between them. And, this was at SummerSlam, this match. And it was just a brawl, and it didn't take place. So, I really don't mind that.
Okay, I just hope it doesn't take up. I don't want this match to be 45 minutes.
I really like Rusev, and I really enjoy watching Roman wrestle. And I like that this feud is for the U.S. title, so I don't really think I'll be, upset about this.
All right. So who are you picking?
I don't see Roman losing, but I could see Rusev getting it back. Ugh. I guess I'm going to say Roman.
Damn it. We're both agreeing. All right. Yeah, I don't see how Rusev. I don't see that you can have the baby face lose in hell in the big match like this and lose the title.
Are all three champions going to retain in Hell in a Cell? Doesn't that take away from it a little bit?
I hate thinking about things like that.
Owens can't say I survived Hell in a Cell. I went in there and retained. So did I.
That's a really interesting point.
But there's no way to I don't see any of these matches going the other way. So what do we, we can't just pick against it for the sake of picking against it,
I completely agree with you. That's kind of, and so we're kind of giving away the last two matches, but that's how I feel.
I think Rusev is the most likely guy to maybe shock us, but finish what you were saying.
I could see Charlotte shocking us.
That would kill Sasha, man.
Yeah. Did you hear?
And this will be Charlotte's first loss at a pay-per-view, right? In a year and a half or whatever it is, 13 pay-per-views.
Oh, wow.
Which makes perfect sense as to why she keeps losing the belt on Raw as to not a pay-per-view, because they have this thing going.
Huh. Interesting.
Right, because she didn't lose in the Triple Threat. And then, did she have a... There was no pay-per-view last month, so...
No, she has not lost on pay-per-view.
Yeah.
By the way, what... Okay, I'll just start. Nothing could possibly weaken the women's division more than needing the GM to sell your match.
Okay, we really have to talk about this, because what the hell happened in that segment? I Foley's... I'll split it in just halves. Foley's half was extremely intense, and he was screaming. And I got that. I got what he wanted them to feel. I got that he was trying to make them realize what Hell in a Cell was. But they very calmly continued to keep telling him, yeah, we get it, but I'm still going to go into this match, and I'm ready. I want to take this on. And I don't know who was really at fault, but it was weird. It was like, who's not doing what they're supposed to be doing here? You know, I when I was watching it, I felt like Foley was like, "Yo, man, chill out. I think they get it. You don't stop fucking yelling. You just yelled the same thing back to back times. I got it. You're in a Hell in a Cell. It calls you to look like this. You can't walk. But what are they supposed to say? Like, okay, Mick, we get you. I'm not going to sign this contract." That was a awkward thing to be doing. Look at me and know that you've done this. Oh, okay, how am I supposed to give you that look?
And the Eddie Guerrero...
Yeah, that was too much, too.
I've started to hear weird stuff online, like a weird rumor, a totally weird rumor that I don't believe, but like somebody put like a shot of Sasha up and a shot of Eddie's daughter, and someone was like, "Oh, you know, maybe she's his daughter," and that, you know, like I just,
yeah, and so Eddie Guerrero was related to Snoop Dogg, but
amazing.
It, you know, like I get it. She carries on Eddie's legacy, and I'm sure he would be very proud. But like, that's the kind of thing you don't need to say. It's unnecessary, and it's cheesy, and I don't like that. I don't like using something like that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I was... You know what I have to say here right now? I think right now, and maybe if you went in the time machine and you asked me beforehand, I actually thought differently. But I think I stopped liking Rey Mysterio after Eddie died, and they used that to put the belt on him and elevate him.
1,000%. Because he was only the world champion because Eddie Guerrero passed away. That's I get it, but that's not a good reason to be the world champion because my friend died? That's not okay.
I think that's exact. Maybe I had already soured on him by that point, but I don't really think so. I think that's the straw that broke the camel's back. And when they pulled out,
and then
Eddie
he was beating the Batistas and the bigger guys, and it was just come on.
Yeah, no, and I think like it really put a bad taste in my mouth when I heard Eddie brought up. I just
yep. There's a girl in my class whose father passed away, unfortunately, and you know, a couple of the kids took it upon themselves to get a card started and have everyone sign it like that. But one kid consistently goes around like, "Hey, did you know this girl's father passed? And oh yeah, we're making a card." Like, yo, that's not your business to put it out there, you know? And you're a kid, you don't get that. But it's just that sort of a thing, you know, where it's those things are not necessary to tell everyone. And I don't like when they're used to force an angle or you know, when Paige mentioned David Flair or not David Reed Flair,
yeah,
you know, that's a little bit different to me because that was part of the story, you know, that was like part of the angle, but this was just out of nowhere and just kind of used for no reason.
Very odd.
The whole promo, like we said, was really awkward, and I don't know whose fault it was, but the girls were not... their intensity, like, I could feel their intensity, but it wasn't Foley's intensity, and I don't think he got that part.
It was,
you know, weird. Like, they can be intense by not screaming.
Really weird segment.
Yeah, undoubtedly.
So...
That being said, who do we think is winning?
It's hard for me to pick who I think is winning from who I want to win. So I'm just going to go with my who I want. I want Charlotte to win.
I don't think I'm going to be able to enjoy this match until it's over. But I'm scared for what they're going to try and do here.
Oh,
like, they can't, they cannot, and there's nobody who can approve of it. And if they tried it, then, like, just stop the match. Like, they can't get thrown off the top of the cell. They can't get thrown through the cell. Like, Sasha will break in half. That's, you know, that can't 100%. Happen. So I don't know what they're going to attempt to do to stand out in any sort of way or change this up, but they have to be careful with it. And I'm excited. I think it'll be a great match, but I just know I'm not going to be able to enjoy it till after. That being said, I think this is Sasha's moment to come out on top and win the first Hell in a Cell and go from there. But I don't think you can underrate the Flair name that they suddenly added to her name and, you know, that being part of her legacy. But she can't be a four-time women's champion in a matter of 3 months. So, like, that's crazy.
If it opens... See, like, that's the thing. Like, it's almost safer if they open the card so that they don't try to top anyone.
Agreed. But then do they try and, like, steal the show sort of a thing? You know, like, each cell has to have something, right? Like, I don't know what happens in any of these. Who goes on top? Who gets... thrown through the cage, who, you know, this is the fun part, because there's never been a women's Hell in a Cell, so, like, this is going to be so cool to see, but, you know, I don't know what to expect, which is awesome.
So, that leaves us with one match. Kevin Owens defending against Seth Rollins.
The man, Kevin
Owens. What do we think?
The champ. I think this is going to be a hell of a match, and no pun intended. They don't have the hatred and the vitriol that's needed or warrants a Hell in a Cell, but hey, it is what it is. They have enough of a little bit of a rivalry. I think the use of Jericho has really kind of overshadowed the anger that's supposed to be, you know, in this feud, because it's a lot of just comedy. But, you know, I both of these guys are two of the top three, four guys in the company, so they're going to kill it. I don't know that I don't see Triple H coming out in this one, but I guess we can keep waiting. I don't know.
Oh.
But, you know, that wrinkle is always there now. So until he comes back and he's back for good, which, who knows, because I don't think they're building this Rollins Triple H to anything other than WrestleMania. So maybe it's another while before we get him back, but he can always come in and make an appearance, and maybe he does in Hell in a Cell. But I think this is an opportunity to give Kevin Owens that clean, decisive victory, make him look like a badass heel, using the cage, taking some good bumps or good-looking moves, and, you know, we continue.
I agree. Do you think Jericho gets involved in any way?
At this point, I kind of think he has to. And, man, maybe we get a Jericho, like, miscommunication, you know, and still somehow allows Rollins to... Wow, I just typed it allows. it allows Rollins to... Owens to still get the victory, but... Then we go into the Jericho-Owens feud that I think they've been teasing for a little bit, and Jericho is becoming increasingly over as a babyface with this whole list. And, I mean, just before you give your thoughts on that, the list stuff from Monday Night Raw I thought was, you know, just really good. When when he turned the corner and saw that it was Braun Strowman, like the look of defeat that came over him was brilliant, man. And like it's just that guy is on fire, and I'm kind of excited to see him as a babyface and see, you know, how the crowd reacts.
Wait, Strowman?
Jericho.
Oh. Oh, I don't want him to be a big... I guess he has to be, but...
The list thing is he's over like Rover.
Well, I think the list
he just made the list.
Yeah, I mean, people pop for it, but I don't think that... I feel like once he becomes a good guy, then like he's not that jerky. Like
He loses the sarcasm and the snarkiness, but does he? Like, I think people would be on his side to see him face Kevin Owens.
He can't stop calling people stupid idiot.
No, and I think when he does that, that's starting to get a bigger pop. You know, like when he almost called Kevin Owens a stupid idiot, like the crowd's like, So like, I think they're getting more and more involved, you know, and they're just laughing at his humor. So I don't know. It's interesting. It's a good point you bring up about, you know, him losing the jerk part, but I don't know. I think he can make it work.
All right. I'm looking forward to this match. I agree with you. I think that Owens needs to win the match. I think he kind of needs to win kind of cleanly, you know. I mean,
on his own, yeah.
I mean, it's a sell. I could see Jericho possibly doing something, but I don't see Rollins walking away with the title. You have to keep it on Owens. I mean, it's still too early. They've done it before, but I don't see a reason why you'd want to end this reign early. I think that no matter what the ratings are, and that scares me because I've heard things about how the ratings aren't that good.
That's just like they've been bad. So like, if they blame that on Owens, then they suck at life.
Yeah, that's the only thing I'm scared about. I'm actually like frightened that they would do something stupid because of the ratings. So as long as like some nonsense like that isn't going on, Owens wins, Owens looks strong. Maybe they're not even the last match. Maybe they're earlier in the night so that you can swallow, you know, and then Roman and Rusev are the main event so that you have, you know, Reigns
winning. I will quit. I think at the end of this show, I think it ends with Triple H hitting Rollins with the pedigree. I think it's been a couple months since we saw it, and I think, you know, just to end it on a, whoa, what's going to happen tomorrow night on Raw, I think we get that Triple H moment.
Do they do post stuff for the pay-per-view?
I believe so.
Because I wonder what you would do if Triple H comes out, you know, and your whole angle is like, what's happening now? What's going to happen on Raw? Like,
that's what they do. They just ask that question over. Like, man, did we saw Triple H come back? Wow, I wonder what's going to happen tomorrow night. So now let's get to the rest of the card.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Just want to take a moment to acknowledge one of our sponsors. So podcast advertising is one of the most engaging types of digital advertising. Cast.market makes it easy to advertise on podcasts. So if you sign up and you try the campaign creator today, you target quality shows specific to your product or service, and you enter our podcast code, which is Running Wild, and our show will automatically be included and site fees will be waived. So go to http://cast.market today. You can probably just type in cast.market and it'll work just as well. All right. So with that out of the way, want to introduce to you guys. Next, we're very lucky to have Stokely Hathaway in the show. So just sit back, guys, and enjoy the interview, and we'll be back shortly. All right, ladies and gentlemen. So we'd like to welcome to the show Stokely Hathaway.
How's it going?
So how are you doing, Stokely?
I'm doing pretty good. Doing very, very well. How about you guys?
Yeah, everything's all right, man. Yeah.
Thursday, so it's better than Monday. Not as good as Friday.
That is true. Very true.
So how did you get started in professional wrestling?
It was kind of a convoluted story in a sense. So I was working on, I guess, like my thesis project for grad school. So we were given different options or whatever, so I decided to prove that I thought that wrestling was like an art form, like a form of theater, which I still believe is true to this day. So for me, in order to, like, I guess, really drive the point home, I decided to train to be a wrestler. And I kind of just stuck with it for the most part. Like, and, you know, like, I really enjoyed it. Like, I was always, like, a wrestling fan. But, you know, I never actually thought about pursuing it until that moment, really. Or really took it seriously that I could possibly do something in wrestling. You know, most people dream about it, or, you know, they, you know, watch wrestling and they, you know, try to picture themselves doing it. You know, I think that's much different than actually going in and doing it. So that's pretty much how it started. You know, I started training at different places, and then, you know, I wound up in Ring of Honor, and that was pretty much it.
You can't see me right now, but I'm sitting here, you know, kind of just my mouth open, because that was not the answer I was expecting, and that's awesome, you know, that you were just writing a paper and, like, you know, hey, I'm going to go out there and do this and really prove that what I'm saying is the case, and, you know, that's pretty amazing, man.
Thank you. I mean, most of my professors thought that I was crazy.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I'm pretty sure... Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure they thought that I was going to flunk out of grad school. But once they read my paper and everything was, like, put together, I mean, everyone enjoyed it. You know, they thought that it was, you know, for that year, one of the most enjoyable thesis papers, you know, that have been put together. Because, like you said, you know, it was something different. It wasn't the usual analysis of, like, Shakespeare or, you know, whatever. So, yeah.
Wow.
Man, you got something against my boy Shakespeare, because, you know, that was my thesis. So excellent.
Yeah. No, I would not want to go back to the Shakespeare days.
My students feel that pain every day. What did you actually get your master's in?
The exact title was, like, theater administration, but okay. It was more so like acting, marketing. It was pretty much like a well-rounded program, in case you, because, you know, everyone has, like, a different direction, whether they want to be a producer, a director, an actor themselves, whether they want to be like behind the scenes. So the program was pretty much everything that involves theater, acting, and dance. So it was a really well-rounded program for just an entertainer in general.
What would you say you, like, your biggest takeaway from school, from your education, was that you've translated to wrestling?
I mean, that's a really difficult question. I'm not really sure. I mean, I go back and forth on whether I would say grad school was a good idea, mainly because for me, I felt like it was something I needed to do on a personal level, but I think I could have learned the same things, like maybe doing, like, different seminars or acting seminars or whatnot. But I would say that, you know, it was always like a struggle in a sense. For example, you know, they basically told everyone, you know, you may learn all of this here, but that doesn't translate to reality. So you could be the best actor here in grad school, but when you go to the real world, you're going to be at the bottom, you know. And I would say that was probably, that was the biggest takeaway, because I think, you know, everyone thinks that they're the next Robert De Niro or Steven Spielberg or, like, Denzel Washington, you know. So the program really fine-tuned that, you know, everyone has their place, but I guess what's for you is what's for you, if that makes sense. Like, everybody mm-hmm. can't be like everyone else.
I mean, you know, from a fan's perspective, I've definitely, your promo work is, you know, some of the best that there is today. So I'm not sure if that's something you were focusing on in all of that, but that's definitely something taken away from that theater aspect sort of a thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, believe it or not, like, I still take classes. Like, I still take acting classes. I still take speech therapy, because, you know, for me, it's, I don't think you can ever stop. Yeah, so, absolutely. You know, I, you know, no pun intended, but I think, you know, you have to like evolve as a performer.
Yes,
absolutely.
You know, so, and, you know, like a lot of my friends in the city, you know, they're actors and, you know, or they're doing some type of like production work or like, you know, in film. So, you know, it's nice to still be around that, you know, outside of wrestling. But then again, I kind of think that they're one in the same, you know. Yeah. I view it as me performing, not just, oh, I'm cutting a promo. Like, you know, it's to me, this is acting just in a different form.
Absolutely. You're putting on a show and I mean, it's definitely enjoyable.
Thank you.
So you've been working at Evolve, and you know, you had the dream team with TJ Perkins, and then he, you know, he signed a contract with WWE and kind of left, you know, left the company.
Thanks to you, right? I mean, let's give credit where it's due.
Thank you. yeah, like it was a really cool experience to be a part of. You know, when I was first coming into Evolve, like I was kind of told that, like I knew that he was going to be involved in the Cruiserweight Classic, but I didn't know that it was going to be to the magnitude that it turned out to be. So just to be a part of it was really surreal. Being able to work with him and Gabe, and you know, it's hard to really describe. And I'm happy for him. We talk all the time, and you know, to see someone's dream actually come true, like right before your eyes, like it's pretty surreal, you know, to see. Like, you know, I would say TJ, Cedric, and Gulak, and like a few others, like they're really the first bunch that I've known personally to like go off and, you know, and grab the quote unquote of the brass ring. So, you know, I mean, I love it. It's great to see.
I completely agree, you know, as, you know, going to the Evolve shows and seeing these guys all up close, and then now seeing them on Monday Night Raw is like you said, it's kind of surreal. And, you know, I'm not friends with them. I don't know them personally. But just as the fan, it's, you know, you feel that connection with the guys when you're 2 feet away from them instead of, you know, 20,000 seats away.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's I mean, even watching Raw or watching Superstars, Main Event, whatever, like it's to this day, I don't think it'll ever get old. Like, you know, I know they're on the I think it's Cedric, Gulak, and Tony Nese, they're on the Hell in a Cell pre-show. Mm-hmm. And like, that's crazy, you know.
Yep.
If you would have thought about that a year ago, you know, everyone would have said that you were insane. But this is, you know, here, you know, it's here now, and all those guys deserve it, and it's just like amazing to see.
I completely agreed.
You know, I just, one thing during the send off for TJP, you know, you had that money there, and it was really disappointing when some of that fluttered down to the first row and we got to grab some in Stokely. That wasn't real money. I hope you threw some real money at Tim.
I mean, I gave him like a bonus check at the end of the night, but yeah, of course, I'm not gonna waste fake money in Queens. So I mean, I'm not gonna waste real money in Queens. So
whoa, what is this guy saying about Queens?
I mean, I like Queens, but I mean, that was no. I'm gonna use the money for something else. But yeah, that was really a really cool moment. Even though my speech went over everyone's heads, but it still was fun.
It certainly did. But after, you know, TJP transitioned to WWE, you stated that there was, you know, now openings in the Dream Team. And Ethan Page was one of the guys who stepped up and wanted to be a part of it. But, you know, seemingly that didn't work out. And you chose to go after Timothy Thatcher as, mm-hmm. you know, your next Dream Team member. And it seems like a very odd pairing. But I think when it comes down to it, it works perfectly well.
Yeah, I mean, I think so too. I mean, Tim is the best in the world. And it's funny because I've seen a lot of comments online about, you know, how he's boring, how, you know, he's been a dud as champion and whatnot. But I disagree. And I think Tim has his own charisma. He has his own personality. And I think it's going to be great for us to play off of that, you know, him being the straight man, you know, the dominant force, and me being, you know, the entertainer, you know, the guy around him, you know, who gets it done, you know, like, I make it all happen. Kind of like I said in my promo at the last show that, you know, there's no more street fights. There's no more fight to a finish. Like, Tim is a wrestler, so he should be wrestling. So I'm going to take care of that for him, you know. He doesn't have to go out there and defend himself or the title, you know, whatever. I'm going to do all of that for him. So I think it's a great pairing, and I'm looking forward to the future.
Yeah, I think that was definitely a smart move on your part, and a smart move on his to accept it.
Well, I have I have to disagree. Stokely, he broke your finger. He broke your thumb. I couldn't shake your hand the last time I saw you in person.
He did, but you guess what? Money heals all wounds. So
you can't. There's no arguing that. Exactly. That's it.
And you know, one more thing about Tim. Please tell me that you guys were really watching Moesha together.
I did pull it up on YouTube.
That's
so
amazing, yes.
He had no clue what he was watching, but you know, we're getting there. Baby steps.
Baby steps, absolutely.
So what are you focusing or like looking for more talent to join the Dream Team?
I mean, there's always an opening somehow, somewhere. You know, I'm just waiting for the right person to come along. But, you know, right now my focus is on Thatcher. And, you know, to pretty much protect him and to protect the Evolve Championship. So that's going to be my main focus for at least the next few months. If someone great comes along, you know, perfect. But I'm not actively searching or looking for anyone right now.
All right. So next time Evolve will be in Queens. It will actually be on November 12th. What are you and the champion doing?
Well, there may be a birthday celebration. November 12th is my birthday, so I've contacted several honeys in the area. You know, so you know, it's going to be a scene. I'll tell you that much.
I'm suddenly even happier that we have front row seats to get a view of this.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be great.
It's worth the price of admission right there.
Yeah, I don't know which day I'm looking forward to. Either my own birthday celebration that I'm gonna give myself, or the next day when he's wrestling Tony Nese in Joppa, Maryland. I'm not really sure.
And you know, since you mentioned that, Tony Nese's run on the CWC and now on Monday Night Raw, and you know, he's looked great. You gotta think that's giving him a slight edge, don't you?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm a big believer in being rewarded for your efforts and good deeds. I mean, I think it was 2 weeks ago he pinned Rich Swann on yep. On Raw, and you know, like, he hasn't had like a title shot in a while, at least. So you know, I think, you know, he's earned it, and I'm sorry, but Gulak and Riddle and Zack Sabre Jr., all those guys, I mean, they've had their time. They've had their opportunity. They have to go all the way to the back of the very long line and start there.
On behalf of Matt Riddle, I feel the need to say, bro.
Yeah, so. he's Matt Riddle is not getting a title shot anytime soon. He just had one, it was what, like 2 months ago? So
yeah.
So maybe October 2017, we can reconsider it. You know.
All right. That gives me something to look forward to, I guess.
So we have we always like to have hard-hitting questions here. At WrestleMania 29, the both of us missed Puff Daddy's performance. I wanted to know what your thoughts are on that performance.
I thought it was pretty amazing. I think Diddy should be at every WrestleMania. Not just him; it should be the entire Bad Boy family. They should perform everyone's theme song live. I think
I want to see my so badly.
Yes, I can't wait till you're running WWE, because that will be one hell of a WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine Busta Rhymes and Mace doing like New Day's theme song? Like that's priceless. Like that's gold. I probably would die. I think I would have like a massive heart attack watching it. So
that would be it. I mean, you heard it here first.
All right.
Yeah. Steve. I mean, and just lastly, Stokely, before we let you go, I just the next time you see him, please let Darby Allin know that we don't want to see him die, and the fans like seeing him live.
I'm not going to pass on that message. I've already negotiated to be in his will, so and he can do whatever he wants.
Ahead of the game on that one.
Yeah, let Darby be Darby. You know, I'm actually going to give him the key to the top of the roof in Queens. So if he wants to do something off the top of the building, he's more than welcome. But all of his assets have been secured for the most part. So,
Do you want to share where people can find you on social media and everything?
Sure. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Stokely Hathaway. Feel free to add me, find me, stalk me, whatever. Yeah.
And where can we see you next?
Next, I will be in Queens, New York, November 12th, and we'll be in Joppa, Maryland the next day, November 13th.
That's Evolve 72 and 73. On Flow Slam Sports now. If you're not already a fan of Evolve or Stokely Hathaway, you know, everyone go check them out.
Yes, and also in the meantime, just like a quick plug, you know, there are other amazing companies out there, you know, who have their own services and whatnot. But, you know, you can check out CWF, Mid-Atlantic. They're on YouTube. Like, you can watch their content for free. You know, they put up their entire episodes that you can watch days after the event. You have Beyond Wrestling. You have Chikara. So, you know, there's plenty of stuff out there. So
absolutely.
All right. Well, Stokely, thank you very much. And I appreciate you spending your time with us this evening.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Yeah, thank you, guys. And we'll talk soon.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. Have a good one.
You too.
All right. Well, I hope you guys enjoy the interview. I just want to take a second to thank Stokely very much for coming on the show.
Yeah, I mean, it was our privilege to have him on. He was a great guest, and, you know, definitely a good interview. Hopefully you guys enjoy it, and, you know, hopefully we can get him on again and maybe for a little bit longer next time.
All right. Is there any other bits and pieces of news from the wrestling world that you'd like to get into this week?
I mean, there's just so much, but there's nothing we really need to touch on. You know, all this stuff is going on with TNA. It'll unfold how it unfolds, and, you know, we'll all find out exactly what happens when it does. There's no point in speculating anymore. There's no point in trying to figure it out. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, Ring of Honor this weekend has one, I believe they have one show, and then next week they're going to be in San Antonio, and then they're going to England. So they did announce that you're going to have Marty Scurll and Will Ospreay actually team up. So, yeah, I was hoping that they would be opposing sides, but at the same time, I still think that it'll be fun to watch. Maybe you have Scurll walk out on Ospreay.
Exactly. So Kevin Kelly and Carino are very good, and they're very good at giving the backstory, telling the deal. So hopefully they talk about Scurll and Ospreay's rivalry and how, you know, they made the Progress World title a world title when they wrestled each other in the United States. So hopefully they use that, and exactly what you said. You know, we can, hey, this is the backstory. It's kind of surprising to see this guy. Oh, we knew this was going to happen. Scurll turns on up. You know, that's perfectly fine. And then that's how you introduce them to the ROH audience, and we go from there. That's perfectly acceptable. But them as a team, they are not anywhere alike other than that they're British. They are two completely different characters, completely different styles, and I don't like them as a team. So who are they wrestling?
I have to find that
or
one.
Maybe they didn't announce that part.
I just know that, I definitely know that they're teaming together.
Okay. So hopefully it's what we're saying.
Oh, it's actually, I'm sorry, it's the Young Bucks.
Against Skrull and Osprey.
Yeah.
Okay, so I kind of take back everything I said because that's a freaking awesome. That's an awesome match, but they are not a tag team.
No.
But wow, wow! But
it's gonna that'll be a good one.
Wow.
Then
wow.
So they have this. All right. So this week I'll just go over the episode quickly. So first of all, you have this team called the Tempura Boys, Yo and Sho. I forget their last names because I don't share them often when they come out. So basically, it's a really weird name. You know, like it's like having two Mexican guys be the Taco Boys. I feel like that's inappropriate. But
or Jose and Jose B.
Well, yeah. So these guys, they it's funny because Kelly, for the third time,
he's like, they picked their name. They wanted this name. So it's like, they're putting it on them. Like, we're not racists. We didn't come up with it. They did. So they're actually pretty good, but they faced Cabana and Castle. It was kind of like a foregone conclusion, kind of a short match. Also, you had Gresham versus Kyle O'Reilly, which, you know, just one of those matches you got to watch. I mean, Gresham is really really good with the mat stuff. He went after O'Reilly's shoulder at one point, and so the friendly match kind of turned a little nastier. So that was a pretty nice match. Yeah, Cheeseburger and Will Ferrara, they called out Punishment Martinez and BJ Whitmer.
Punishment Martinez, yes.
Whoa. Yes, Punishment.
Yeah.
So they got decimated. But on one of the shows from last weekend, they apparently beat them. Like, Carino's music played and distracted Punishment and Whitmer. And then there's this whole new weird thing where they're calling Carino Boozar Bokan. Like, apparently it's this, like, evil name he had or something. It's...
Okay.
So, this story continues to develop. I'm kind of...
I mean, you know we're getting the end of that final battle,
yeah.
So...
I'm looking... You know, it's odd, because I kind of was sick of it. And it's a little weird.
You were sick of it before it started.
Because it's so different from what they normally... You know, they don't have this weird... Like,
yeah.
Superstitious, like...
Blood feud.
Yeah, it's just weird. But the main event of this week's TV created the greatest hashtag in the history of the world. So during the show, the Ring of Honor Twitter account tweeted out, hashtag Motor City Machine Guns versus Los Ingobernables... I can't even say it.
Ingobernables.
Ingobernables. The entire thing.
Oh, my God.
That was the hashtag.
Not MCMG versus
nope.
LIJ.
Nope.
What a bunch of morons.
Nope. It was amazing. if you search for that hashtag, that you'll find my article.
It's probably just you.
That was like my... No, Cheeseburger was trying to put it over. It was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, that's absurd.
But you, Silas Young had a title shot against Adam Cole over the weekend. Cole retained, but I haven't. The VOD's not out yet, but I heard that Silas that was a great match. Now Cole's gonna take the title to defend it against Lethal in London, and also I think one of the other big thing that came out of the weekend was that War Machine challenged Shane Taylor and Keith Lee to a match in San Antonio on November 4th. So I hope it, like they were saying, like we're gonna throw the rule book out the window. So
yeah,
I hope it's like maybe no DQ.
Definitely some type of street fight.
I don't want it to be like I'm still hoping that we get to see them in Final Battle in a fight without honor. First time they do a tag team match like that.
Yeah.
Like you know, that would just be pretty awesome. So we'll see what happens. I'm kind of excited about that, and that's Ring of Honor for the week.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't get a chance to catch Lucha Underground yet. I watched a little bit of NXT. It was just a couple of dusty matches with, you know, obvious winners. Nothing really spectacular.
All right. Well, so if you got nothing left, do you have anything left?
No, I'm good.
All right. So just we've we know that we forgot to remind you, so you guys should, you know, we'll just tell you again. Go over to iTunes and, you know, leave a comment, rate our podcast as highly as possible, and make sure that, you know, you spread the word. You can find us, if you're looking for us, on Twitter at RunningWildLWOS. As I say every week, the good tweets are from Runs. The corny stuff is from me. You can follow me directly at Rich_Laconi on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. You can just search for Running Wild Podcast. You can listen to us anywhere you get your podcasts from. Make sure you can find us on SoundCloud. You can find us on Spreaker. And you can find us on the Google Play Store. You can send us an email at runningwildpodcast@gmail.com. And anything I'm leaving out, Runs?
Nope.
All right. With that out of the way, I just wanted to remind you that you guys have been listening to the podcast that is just too sweet.